Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Epiphany seems a good time to focus on the threefold office of Christ. That's what it's come to be called: prophet, priest, king. Of course, Jesus Christ is all those things and more, but these Old Testament types are there for a reason. The prophets in the Old Testament are not just there for a utilitarian purpose to speak forth the word of God. As great as that purpose is, they are there to foreshadow the one who would be the prophet to end all prophets. The priests in the Old Testament sacrificial system, they too had a function, God-given, God-ordained in the Old Testament, but their greater function was to point forward to the priest who would be the sacrifice himself. And the king, and he comes historically by way of kind of accident to the ancient people of God, the king is there for a reason too, not just to be a civil governor, but to point forward to the one who would sit on David's throne forever. And Christ fulfills it all: prophet, priest, and king. We're going to be talking about this threefold office of Christ in Scripture for the remainder of this hour of Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, January the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. You can join us, 1-877-623-MYIE. Email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us @issuesetc. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. He's associate pastor of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, co-host of a weekly internet radio show called Higher Things Radio. George, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well. How are things for you in Texas?
Well, it's very cold, but after I get off the phone with you, I get to be Father of the Year. So
really?
Yeah.
You mean this year or last year? Because this year is only a couple days old.
Every year. Oh. But my fifth grader son, my oldest, came to me and said he was one of the only children in the fifth grade class that didn't have a cell phone. And I said, "You're not the only kid in the fifth grade that doesn't have a cell phone." And he said, "Well, you know, there are three others." And I said, "Well, listen, you got to love those guys, because if you got a cell phone now, those other two people are then the only two people in the fifth grade class that doesn't have a cell phone, that don't have a cell phone." Unfortunately, that sort of reasoning has landed me to today, where he is as he said in his own words, the pariah, the only kid in all the fifth grade in Conroe that doesn't have a cell phone. Now he does, but he can't call anyone until he calls his dad. So after you, I'm moving on up to my son.
Well, I hope you went prepaid, because I can guarantee you they know how to rack up the charges. So
I went with whichever one my wife let me get him.
Good call. Good call. Where in Scripture should we go first to find? I mean, none of this is completely explicit at any one place in Scripture, but where in Scripture can we see most clearly Christ in his threefold office simultaneously: prophet, priest, and king?
There's the Scriptures that we usually derive these categories from, because they're categories. Prophet, priest, and king are categories that we use to describe Jesus. I'm going to set those aside, because it's a different question than what you asked. Where is he most, prophet, priest, and king?
Well, yes. Where
cross.
Do we see him?
The cross.
Oh.
The cross. Yeah. It was a shocking answer from me. prophesy to us who is striking you. INRI above his forehead as king of the Jews, David King, priest to Telestai. It is finished, the sacrifice which lasts for all time. Now, that's me saying that, you know, if we're going to take these words, prophet, priest, and king, and we're going to use them to describe Jesus, and we need to go right to the cross for them. Now, that's not the doctrinal categories. The doctrinal categories start somewhere else. It starts for prophet with a prophet like Moses in Deuteronomy. For king, he's a Davidic king of the line of David. And for priest, well, that's the Hebrews, most of the book of Hebrews, but mostly chapter 7, where he's a high priest of the order of Melchizedek. Again, though, I'd be most happy saying that those are most fulfilled by Jesus on the cross.
I like your style. I mean, I like the way that you begin there, because I fear that if we don't, we could spend a lot of time talking about prophets, priests,
yes,
and kings, and spend very little time talking about Jesus and his saving work.
Right. Well, what gets me is he's most the king. That's what started this in my mind. He's most the king as he hangs there dead, having answered for all our sins, with the sign above his head saying exactly who he is in all three languages. They tried to change it. They had that postmodern moment. Don't say that he's the king of the Jews. Say that he said he was the king of the Jews. But what was written stays written, and he is our king. So you want to find out how Jesus is king, take a look at the cross. Well, if you want to find out how he's priest, well, the same thing is true there, too. You look at him on the cross. He is Christ the victim, Christ the priest, as the hymn says. He's the sacrifice once for all time, made for all our sins. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience rest or satisfy our shame. Now, what about prophet? Well, all he ever talks about is the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. And, well, that's what he's doing when he's answering for our crimes. But, yeah, you're right. We got these categories. We can fit Jesus in our nice little boxes. You know, this is where he's being prophet. This is where he's being priest. He's being king. But the big deal is where he's headed. He's headed for the cross. Well, there's an epiphany.
Okay, the next place I want to stop is just back a little bit. We do want to go back to the Old Testament, talk about the types there. But the next place I want to stop is back a little bit. Only 3 years prior to the cross, where Jesus' public ministry begins with an anointing, his baptism, and it strikes me that all three of these offices in the Old Testament were inaugurated with anointing: king, prophet, priest.
Wow, that's good. This is my son, my beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased. He's anointed by a woman of questionable character. That's the way kings are, and he gets a woman anointed. If he knew who she was, he would have never let her do that with oil. But there he's anointed for what? She anoints him for burial. Oh, there we go back to the cross again. Man, this whole, you're going to be done with me fast, and I'll be Father of the Year if all I get to say is the cross, the cross, the cross. But baptism is a good one. He is proclaimed by the Father, and he goes into the water, and remember, John the Baptist tries to stop him. No, that's a baptism for sinners. I need to be baptized by you, but it's to fulfill all righteousness. It's a vicarious baptism. So he stands in the water and he says, "I'm going to be numbered with sinners." And as they leave clean, the sinners leave clean, he leaves with our sins. Oh, there's priests right there. Wow. That's real good. I like that.
All right. Well,
we're having fun.
I'm trying to figure out which order to take them in. Let's take them in the order that they're ordinarily, one by one, the order that they're ordinarily find in poems and scripture and things like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Prophet is the hard one, because he doesn't ever call himself a prophet, if I'm right. The verse that we have is the Deuteronomy verse, and we have other people call him a prophet. he usually says, well, you want to talk about prophets, we're talking about John the Baptist. But he does do the prophetic office. He's preaching and he's proclaiming, and he's doing that both in his state of humiliation, where he's not always using his divine pop, and in his state of exaltation, where he's proclaiming his gospel through his mediator, through his ministers. But the prophet one is the one that I've always had the hardest time with, because it's the category that Jesus doesn't really fit. Because you don't wake up in the morning and say, well, I'm going to be a prophet. Prophets pop up. The Lord calls them and puts them to work. But what he does is very prophet-like. He proclaims good news over and over again. He's forgiving sins. He's calling people to repentance, or let's do the Lutheran thing. He's calling people to forget for repentance and forgiving sins. He's doing it all throughout the area. He's giving people salvation. He's giving away like it's free, and you can't get a better prophet than that. So while the prophet one, the box doesn't really, he doesn't really fit the box, but yet he does what prophets do and then some, better than anyone else, because he's proclaiming what he's going to do for salvation. But I love the one. It's in mocking, but you couldn't be more right than the guy who's beating on him and telling him to prophesy. That's the one that really gets me of his prophetic office, because you prophesy Christ who's striking you. Well, by not prophesying, he's at that point, he's being most our prophet. He's going to be the one who fulfills his preaching by dying.
Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on this Thursday afternoon on the threefold office of Christ, prophet, priest, and king. Pastor Borghardt is associate pastor, St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, co-host of a weekly internet radio program called Higher Things Radio. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us right here in the studio. We get your questions and comments in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. There's another angle on this, of course, and we can't leave it behind before we recess into the Old Testament to talk about the roots of these things, the foreshadowing of Christ, and that is when Jesus comes as prophets, well, ordinary prophets speak for God. Jesus speaks as God. When kings arrive, they may serve at God's choosing. Well, he is God serving as king. And the priest who makes sacrifices to God, Jesus makes sacrifice of himself as God. We'll talk about how we need a divine prophet, a divine priest, a divine king in Jesus after this.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This month, people across America will celebrate life.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In 1983, President Ronald Reagan declared the first Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Each year since, pro-lifers have marked the January anniversary of Roe v. Wade in numerous ways. A pro-life march draws thousands to the nation's capital. Some place white crosses in front of their church to commemorate lives lost in abortion. Many houses of worship invite a speaker from a local pregnancy resource center to speak and have literature available. It's also a good time to raise support for the centers which are on the front lines helping women and children. Every pro-lifer can do something.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest on this Thursday afternoon. We're talking about the threefold office of Christ, prophet, priest, and king. Pastor Borghardt co-hosts a weekly internet radio program called Higher Things Radio. You can find out more about Higher Things Radio at our website tonight, issuesetc.org. Why do we need not mere prophet, priest, and king, but divine prophet, priest, and king?
Well, yeah, it was your point before the break. He, to do these things for us and for our salvation, we need him to be God. He doesn't need anything, but we need him to be God, a God who fulfills his words, a God who dies for his people, and a God who reigns for us and for our salvation. But that was a great point on the way to the break because that kind of sums it up. But if he's just a man doing it, well, those prophets kind of come and go. But God fulfilling his own words, the prophets preach the word. Yeah, Jesus is the word incarnate. He preaches himself. That's just great. The kings were faithful and unfaithful. Even the best king, a murderous, adulterous, peeping Tom, that's a bad guy, David. This king is a beggar king. But that's the way God is for us, all the way to Calvary, and then priest. Those priests, they made sacrifices for sin all the time because there's always more sin. When God sacrifices himself for us, one sacrifice, all time it works, all time. No need for sacrifices anymore. No need for blood to be spilled anymore.
Okay, is that true of all three of these offices that Christ fulfills? Does he not only fulfill them, but so fill them up that there's no longer any need for any of them anymore, prophet, priest, or king? Is he the last of all three?
He's certainly the last of the high priests. He is our eternal king. That works for that too. The prophet, he's still doing the prophetic office by means of his ministers. So I don't want to hop there.
Well, but is he doing it? I knew you were going to stop there.
You know me so well.
Here we may, because I think these categories are abundantly useful, and I got another bone to pick with you in just a second. But
all right,
on the issue of the prophetic office, I tended to say, oh yeah, but he still has his prophets. That is, he still has those who are called to preach his word. But I'm a pastor. You're a pastor. Am I the prophet? Or am I merely speaking on behalf of the prophet? You see what I'm saying here?
It's instrumentum secundum. Okay, when he preaches, he fulfills his own words. We preach the words he gives us. So we're a means of the means of grace. We deliver his words. Now, having said that, there is he who hears you hears me. So when we're proclaiming Jesus, Jesus is proclaiming Jesus crucified for us. Jesus is proclaiming it. So you could say, well, Pastor Borghardt said, you know, Christ died for me, and the next person will say, no, Jesus said that through Pastor Borghardt.
When you're preaching a sermon and you are faithfully adhering to God's word,
Christ is speaking.
There we go.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a tough one on that prophetic office one, but. if you're going to pick at my bones, let's go.
All right, here's another one.
But as we're kind of looking at these, they are useful in trying to understand what Jesus is doing and what he's fulfilling. Let's not dismiss the categories completely. Just understand that he's never going to be able to be fit in the neat king box, or he's never going to be able to be fit in the neat prophet box, and he's never going to be able to fit in the neat priest box, because when he does the priest thing, he blows the priest office up. When he does the king thing, he blows the king office up. And I guess he does really rupture the prophet box, leaving it completely different than it was before.
Or is the problem that we, as a mutual acquaintance, a dear, beloved, longtime guest on this program, Dr. Nagel, was often fond of reminding all of us who ever sat at his feet, we don't bring a category to Jesus and then ask him to step in and fit in, but we rather see what Jesus is and who he is, and then he tells us what that category is. In other words, as opposed to what you said there, not discounting it at all, but it's another way of thinking of it, is if you want to know what God's king really is, Jesus is the only one that can show you. He tells us what a king is. He tells us what a prophet is. He tells us what a priest is.
Right. We don't put our categories on Jesus and say, okay, I got my definition of king, and I'm going to see how you fit. Okay, you got a crown. Oh, it's thorns, but that doesn't matter. You've got royal robes, but that's right before you get crucified. But we don't do that. We see him doing the king job, and we rejoice and say, well, that's how it is for him. That's how God has a king. Or, I guess, in the prophet thing, well, that's how it is that God has prophets. Or the priest, well, that's what it is that he's the priest. He sacrifices himself for the sin of the world. That's good. That'll work. I can live in those categories. But so often we take these categories and we chisel Jesus into them, and he just doesn't fit. He bursts through the boxes that we would make for him. So
let's talk to John in Grand Junction, Colorado. Hi, John. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Pastor Todd. Thank you for having me on. My question is, can we also kind of see this in the sacraments, just to say that by looking at these three folds, that it also reveals to us in Revelation what Christ is doing for us, especially now in church? If you look at baptism, we're told, like in Matthew, go out and baptize. It's a proclaiming thing. It's what a prophet does, preparing the way. We think of John the Baptist, as you guys had said earlier. And then within the Eucharist, communion, there the priest actually does, you know, we go back to the temple and all that with the blood sacrifice, with all that kind of stuff. So we see him as a priest within the consecration of the elements and within sacrament and of the altar. And then in the Word, as the king, he declares his word over us, that to the Holy Spirit, his will, the will of God is given to us, just as a king would proclaim. These are, you know, not to get too overboard with that, because I know people can confuse that with, like, the will, and now you got to obey the rules, but to know that the king also writes in our hearts to follow him and to know who he is and to know all these things. So I was just wondering if that'd be overboard or if that kind of fits in there or something.
Well, John, thank you very much for listening. Grand Junction. George, can you follow that?
Well, Jesus is there in the water, in the Word, delivering himself through the water, through the Word, through the bread and wine. He gives his body to eat and his blood to drink in, with, and under the bread and wine. And in as much as he's doing that, I'm sure we can see bits of his prophetness and his priestness and his kingness in there. Don't run it too far. Then we'll go crazy with our categories. But if we're looking at Jesus and what he did, and we say, "Oh, that's a little kingly thing there," well, that's okay. But not running it too far. And I think the caller has an idea that there's a point in which it can go too far.
Okay, here's my other bone to pick with you before we go to the break.
All right, let's go.
And it has to do with what you said before about the prophet. That's the toughest one to see Jesus fitting into. But I think you answered that objection yourself just a moment ago when you said
I really did.
Yeah, okay. You did.
You're
smarter than you think you are.
light shines on a dog's behind every now and again.
He isn't, you said he isn't just as a prophet there to speak the word. He is the word.
Right.
The word of the Lord came to Isaiah, but no word of the Lord has to come to Jesus. He is the word of the Lord.
Right. Okay. I'm not, you and I are on the same page. I'm not really following where you're picking up my bones. I guess that just makes me more happy. I was speaking personally. When I look at the prophet office, I think we kind of force him in there, because usually people who say prophet to Jesus are the ones that are after he does something. Oh, he's the prophet. And they're talking about the prophet that Moses promised. But yeah, when he preaches, God is preaching. Now that happens with the prophets too, but it's not that the word of the Lord came to Jesus. He is the word. And so they marvel. That's the thing when he preaches. You notice that? They always marvel. Wow, God gave such authority to men. Well, yeah, because God just talked to you. Now, you know, on the flip side, though, because he's still doing his prophetic office, they could marvel at their pastor and go, wow, God just proclaimed my sins forgiven through men. Oh, man, now I've hurt my head. Okay. But, I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, he is the Word incarnate, so he's a prophet like no other. But when he's doing his prophetic office through his office, the office of the Holy Ministry, Jesus is doing it. He's speaking so with the same authority when the Word is being preached. Wow, we don't lose anything.
Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. We got 10 more minutes with him on the other side of the break, talking about the threefold office of Christ, prophet, priest, and king. He's associate pastor of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, co-host of a weekly internet radio program called Higher Things Radio. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama. And Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
He lives and dwells.
We're talking about the threefold office of Christ. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest on this Thursday afternoon, January the 7th. Feel free to join us in the last 10 minutes of our conversation on this afternoon. For any questions or comments, you may have 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. All right, George, let's at least spend a little time in the Old Testament. I like the way you think, because you've kept us firmly in Christ as the fulfillment of these Old Testament offices. I think it's Luther who points out most clearly that when you open the Bible, there's not a point, a line, a column in the Bible you can't put your finger down and find a testimony to Jesus Christ. It all testifies to him directly or indirectly. So let's talk about how when we find a prophet in the Old Testament, or a priest in the Old Testament, or a king in the Old Testament, we ought to be looking for Jesus.
Well, you search the scriptures thinking that you would find a life. These are the things which testify of me. He says that. When we're in the Old Testament, we are looking for Jesus all the time. All the time. Everything that happens, we're looking for Jesus. How is this going to fulfill? How is this going to be fulfilled? How is this going to be bringing about the Savior? You know, we should have the same mind as Eve, except, you know, she fell and all that. But despite her fall, when Cain's born, she thinks Cain's the guy. I'm going to open my Bible here. Wow, this is great. She thinks, remember the first, when she is given Cain, she thinks, and she says, I have received a man, the Lord. That's what the Hebrew says. So she's looking for a Savior to fix what she's done. Every other person's looking for a Savior, too. And of course, Cain's not it. And as is the Lord's way, the guy who's but a breath, Abel, is the important one there. So you got the big. But as we're reading the Old Testament, we're always looking for Jesus. So when God is rescuing his people from Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, how can we not think of him rescuing his people from their sins? When he's saving them from their enemies, we're thinking, okay, cross. When they're going through trial, a bronze serpent is another great one. They defy God. They make him upset. His nose burns with anger, and he wants to kill them all. He sends serpents into the camp. He does a law job on them. And the way they're saved is by looking to a serpent on a stick that was lifted up. When Jesus recounts that, he says, well, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. I guess that kind of puts us at the Jesus point. Jesus reads the Old Testament. When he proclaims the Old Testament to the people, he's the fulfillment of it. I guess we read the Old Testament the way Jesus preached the Old Testament. Wow, that I had just had a moment. I sure hope I don't lose that. But that's the way it is. The prophets are pointing forward to Jesus. Jesus, when he's preaching, he's pointing to himself, and now we point to the crucified and now risen Christ. You can always tell a good prophet by their proclamation of Christ.
Do you mean to say that God actually went to all the trouble of instituting this entire priestly sacrificial system, sending prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet, and then the whole system of the royal house, the promises attached, all of that stuff, just to testify of Jesus?
I love it when you say that. I mean to say it, because that's what I meant to say. Exactly. The whole thing, the sacrifices, who cares about the sacrifice of a lamb in the Old Testament? Oh, it points to Christ. David. We're going to use David as an example, or Solomon of kingship, you know. And how much more glorious that he didn't even want him to have a king, because I'll be their king. I'll be there. Samuel, don't get upset that they're rejecting you as judge. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. Oh, but he will be their king, having answered for all their sins. Yeah, I would say the whole kit and caboodle, prophet, priest, and king, all of it, instituted and fulfilled in Christ alone.
We're really talking about the warp and woof of the whole Old Testament. You take prophet, priest, and king out of the Old Testament, you've got a bunch of people, essentially, you know, pagan people hanging out, you know, and occasionally getting themselves into a lot of trouble and carried off into in warfare and things like that.
Kind of like a church without Christ, yeah. It's just kind of, yeah, same thing. Yeah, the whole of the Old Testament, yeah, it's, I never thought about that. You take prophet, priest, and king out of there, that works. If you take Jesus out of the Old Testament, you don't have anything. If you take Jesus out of the Old Testament, you don't have anything of promise. And if you have no Old Testament, if you have a New Testament without an Old Testament, you have nothing to be fulfilled. So the Lord has given us Old and New Testament for us to cherish, one which he points us to what he's going to do in his Son, the Father does. And the other is all about what his Son does in fulfilling what has been promised. That's a whole of Matthew is all, you know, this fulfill this, and this fulfill this, and this fulfill this, because all of it is pointing to Jesus.
This is so,
you know what?
Go ahead.
It's Epiphany, man. How'd you let me forget, where is he born King of the Jews? Man, you know what my problem is, Todd? I'm stuck in the season of Lent writing devotions for higher things, and so all I can think of is Lent, and I've totally missed the Epiphany season. But, you know, Jesus is prophet, priest, and king manifest. There's the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, myrrh. That's kind of gruesome for a dead body. But
most of the prophets ended that way, didn't they?
Good ones. Yeah, the good ones. The bad ones, they make district presidents, but instead they make them something else, something important. Not all district presidents. Good district presidents out there. And I just finished my job as pastor here. There'll be charges filed shortly. I was just kidding.
Finally, how do we find comfort? I mean, the ultimate comfort in Jesus, our prophet, Jesus, our priest, Jesus, our king. 1 minute.
Well, we've got to go back to the cross. You're gonna find your comfort of prophet, priest, and king, not in facts about what makes him prophet, or facts about what makes him priest, and or facts about what makes him in what makes him king. If you find comfort in those offices, in the cross of Jesus. Oh, there he is, our prophet, our priest, our king. It's finished, the sacrifice acceptable to God. He's the king, the one born king who dies for his people. And you can't get a better proclamation than what he proclaims from the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The fulfillment of prophet, priest, and king has to be the cross of Christ.
Pastor George Borghardt is associate pastor of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, co-host of a weekly internet radio program called Higher Things Radio. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
Folks, you can support Issues Etc., Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio, by joining our monthly or annual giving program. It's called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. We encourage you to join in 2010. Find out more at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Membership benefits include our I Have Issues t-shirt, books, show transcripts. Please consider becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron. You can find out about all those levels and their particulars, issuesetc.org, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the year, not of the week. It is the first week of January. That is quite true. But the first week of January, traditionally here on Issues Etc., we go back through the previous year. That would be 2009. We find some of the winners. We can't pick them all because there were almost 50 of them. Some of the winners of Soundbite of the Week. We take those soundbites, those that we deem to be best, most representative of the winners of Soundbite of the Week. We bring them forward on Friday, and we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. We have five this time for you to choose from. You can find them already at our website, issuesetc.org. Click listen, go to the on-demand page. They're right there under Friday's audio. You can listen to them, and you can vote tomorrow for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. I encourage you to listen tonight and get ready to call and vote tomorrow. It's all there because of Jesus. Why does Moses, why is he called up out of his exile from Egypt? Why are the priests put into the temple to do the dirty work of sacrificing animals? Why is the king sitting on his throne in the Old Testament? All to point forward to the prophet, the priest, the king, our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.